Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I will be your host this evening, but the description of the show is not what it appears on the page right now. The description of the show appears correctly on the website on its page, but I forgot to update it here on the 2021 page. So if you refresh your show browser, if you happen to be watching the show right now, you will be presented with the correct description of what we're going to do tonight. I'll go ahead and read it. If you haven't done so, though, refresh the browser where you're watching the studio or other show or another or a show on Blog Talk Radio if it's live. It's now 5:02 p.m. on the last day of the year, woohoo, of 2020. And believe me, I think we're going to hear some sharing tonight about how we're all happy that 2020 is going by and looking forward to 2021. So here is the description as it should appear if you refresh your browser, and it does appear on the website. It says, tonight's show is all about celebration. It's a question and answer call-in discussion, yes, but it's a discussion of family members for New Year's Eve. And we're going to use an open mic forum. We may feature survivors and professionals who will come on and help us to field topics that are brought to you by you, the listener. So the topics will come out of whoever shows up. We're going to take the opportunity to celebrate the coming new year, 2021, and ring out the old year, 2020. A lot of folks can't wait to see 2020 pass, I shared. And we're looking forward to a chance for a better experience in 2021. So there's no set format. The format is, let's party as a New Year's Eve celebration that we are getting rid of 2020 and look forward to 2021. Of course, we will talk about how that relates to our own recovery and NASCA as a whole, because it was not an easy year for a lot of people personally, nor for NASCA itself, and we're going to discuss some of that too. The number to call if you want to participate, and we hope you do, is 646-595-2118, 646-595-2118. Now, that is the dedicated number that we use every night on the show, so you can write it down or put it in your phone right now, and every night at 8 o'clock Eastern or 5 o'clock Pacific, you can call in and participate on the show as a panelist. Tonight's show, again, is a general show, but it's entitled Celebration. As it happens, it's the fifth Thursday of the month, which is very unusual to have both a first Tuesday, which it was 2 days ago, and a fifth Thursday, which it is tonight. Tonight being the 31st, it's the only month of the year that this occurred last year. The reason being that the first was a Tuesday. So December 1st was a Tuesday. December 31st is a Thursday. That means we had 5 Tuesdays and now 5 Thursdays in the month, the only month that occurred. So we're going to make this a general open mic discussion show about celebrating the giving up of 2021 or 2020 and looking forward to 2021. Again, 646-595-2118. I'm going to bring on the couple of people who have called in so far. And as I do so, I'm going to remind you that NASCA's mission is that we, is twofold. We have a single purpose, and that's to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional trauma, and neglect. And we do this with only two goals. One, we educate the public, especially as relating to help society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse specifically. Presenting facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And two, we offer hope and healing, of course, through numerous paths, providing many services, free, all of them free, to adult survivors of child abuse. And, of course, information for anyone who's interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. So we are largely educational, but also a service organization that helps the survivor, whether they're a newcomer or an old-timer, deal with whatever they're dealing with today. I have two panelists with me tonight. One is Pamela and the other is Carol. They're both extremely well-known, Carol especially, but Pamela's getting better and better known. She hosted a show last night, and I was very proud of her how she did it. This is Pamela Lockridge from Louisiana. Pamela, thanks for joining the show tonight.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Happy New Year.
Hello. Hey.
Hear
from you.
Do you do any special celebrating there in your house or in Louisiana?
This is a different year than every other. So this year we're just staying in, hunkering down. It's just me and my husband. We're both retired now. We've been married 38 years. So, we just make our own new memories and our own new celebrations. And tonight we just watched a cute little movie called New Year's Eve. It was back from 2011. And so we did that and we made ourselves a little, kind of like a New Year's Eve dinner.
Well, my wife and I too had a quiet dinner of leftovers. We call them sorbo. That's what you say in Portuguese. So we had soda. We often have sorbo. Our refrigerator is filled with little containers of different things that were leftovers from various meals, and we often put them all together and eat them. All right, Carol Levine, let me bring you on, and you can chime in here too. I want to welcome you to the show and say Happy New Year to you. Do you have any ritual or anything that you went through this evening for 2020?
Heck no.
Right.
I was sleeping. I just barely made the show. Well, you tell you what, the people across the street had lots of fireworks, and I heard a big bad boom, and it woke me up, all right. But you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy that they're out celebrating because 2020 was a year that was bad for me personally in many ways. And let me tell you something. I want it to go away. I want it to go away because, I want to have a happier year. And you know what?
Yeah.
The COVID just, messed so many things up too. It was a bad year
That's
for
right.
a lot of people. Yeah.
Right. All right, we're going to get into that in a little bit. I do want to welcome an additional caller, 763 caller, and that's probably, I thought it was Victoria, but maybe not, 763. Somebody from, I think it's Victoria. Let's find out. Is that you, Victoria?
Yeah, it's Victoria.
Hi, Victoria. Victoria.
Couldn't miss
Kelly
the parties.
There. That's right, it's a party. So she's here
yeah.
in Minnesota. We're delighted to have you. We have Pamela and Carol here, and I've already brought them on. And each time I did, I asked if they did anything special today or tonight leading into saying goodbye to 2020. How about you? Did you do anything special?
Well, I, you know, everybody's like, oh, what a horrible year. I can't wait till it gets over. And yes, I kind of like to think of some of the good things that happened this year. You know,
yeah,
I got my new doggy to, got my new doggy, and you know what I mean. And for tomorrow, I'm starting out a new tradition where I'm going to get a jar, and every day of the year, I'm going to write down something positive that happened and put it in the jar. And then at the end of next year, I'm going to open up the jar and read everything.
Wow. You going to put them in a certain order or date or something so you can figure out when and where you go?
Nope. I'm going to see all the good things that happened.
All right. So Victoria has a New Year's jar resolution. That's one thing we found out. What? Call in, you listener, and tell us what you plan to do to perhaps encourage 2021 being a better year. The number to dial is 646-595-2118. We're doing a celebration show. The ringing out of the old and bringing in of the new is the topic, and especially, of course, as it's related to our recovery and how we feel about ourselves today as opposed to yesterday, and hopefully look forward to the new year. With me tonight are Pamela from Louisiana, Victoria, as you just heard, from Minnesota, and Carol from New Jersey. My name is Bill. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I'm your host this evening. 646-595-2118 is the number. Anyone can call in. We'd love to hear how you felt about 2020 and how you may or may not be looking forward to 2021. Let's find out from each other. I'll start out by saying that 2020 was a tough year for me, very tough year. Not just because of COVID, although COVID, there was an angle with COVID that caused some of the other things that were going on to be harder. But those of you who have followed me know that I was in Florida almost the whole year, and I'd gone to Florida late in 2019 in order to kind of clean up the situation I had going on there, which included trying to buy a home. I thought that we would be buying a home. We had a house there for a number of years that it was the residence where we were able to set up the 501c3. And so it was, we are a Florida nonprofit organization. And in the end, I was in contract for a home that my wife and I had decided we wanted to get. And it went all the way till the very end and fell through, not because of us, but because of the condition of the house was not good enough for the mortgage company to let us actually go through with the purchase. This was extremely disappointing. I'd had Christina come out at that point to deal with the closing and the move and all like that, and it never happened. So during the course of the year, I was more and more upset with trying to really, I'll be honest with you, I was trying to put a square peg in a round hole a lot of the year. And frankly, I have to admit, I was not graceful about it in certain times. And among those was the fact that I had tried to start a for-profit business, and along with Joe Koch, I was trying to do a second kind of radio show called Murray Talk, and we did quite a few of them. We did 25 of them or something, and nobody ever called in. And the whole idea of Murray Talk was to give a platform for discussing anything at all, so beyond the limited scope that we have for this show, which is appropriate for NASCA. Murray Talk, you could discuss anything. But it was not. It did not pan out. There was no interest in it. Nobody joined us. I also had offered my services as a life coach. Nobody asked me to do that. Not one person. As a paid life coach. Now, I coach all the time. I just I've never gotten paid for it. But this was an attempt by Joe and I to set something up that we thought, could succeed. And in the end, it did not succeed. After 25 shows, pulled the show, And ultimately, as some people know, Joe resigned from NASCA, and she had been extremely important to me. She had become extremely important to me. Again, a big disappointment and a loss, a huge loss. And I have to admit, I did not react very well in the middle of 2020, especially where I allowed my kind of anger at not being able to control these things to come out. And I know that was heard by people on the air, too. So by way of making amends, I do want to talk about these things openly on tonight's show and say I'm conscious of this, what I did or didn't do, and that I'm hoping I can do a better job in 2021 than I did for a chunk of 2020 when I was suffering, basically, and allowed that suffering to come out. So let me close down that comment, and I'll go to Pamela. Wasn't here for most of that, but Victoria was, and certainly Carol was. So I'll ask one of them to make the first comment about what I've just said, because they were along for the ride for the whole year. Carol or Victoria, who would like to comment on what I've said?
Well, Bill, you had you wanted change in your life, okay? And a lot of us want change in our lives and hoping that it would make it a better type of life, an easier life, a better life, all this other stuff. And it just, you know, didn't pan out the way that you had hoped that it would. I can say the same for me, okay? And with certain things, which I'm not going to go into on the radio because it's X-rated. I'm so bad. But anyway, the point is this. You know, with all the things, all the stresses of the world, okay, that we were going through, I think that brought me down. I have been going through certain bouts of depression, which is not like me, because I'd gotten over that, so I thought. And I had about 4 days of really bad times of depression, not in a row, but just 4 days. And I didn't reach out. I figured I'd get myself over it. Thought about taking a couple of drinks maybe. But didn't do it. Proud of myself. And I you know, decided, look, you're better than this, you know. You just have to keep planning for the future. That's it. And just forget about the present and the past. Okay, forget about it. That's gone. It's over. Okay, the past, you can't change the past. So I had 4 days, I'd say, this year that I was really feeling bad and sad, which is dangerous for people who are clinically depressed, okay, as I had been diagnosed many years ago. Never took medicine for it and always managed to get myself over it. So with all the pressures of the world, you know, all the COVID and trying to figure out who's going to run our country, and I have my opinions on that. I won't get into it, but the COVID, you know, it caused, you know, too much problems many times in the family. Like at Christmas time, I had three people here, three people there, three. You know, it was very hard juggling the family. But I am thankful that I was able to see my family, and I am thankful that I have such a good family. So for those things, I am very, very thankful, and no year can take that away, okay, because that's what it's turned into. Had to fight for it,
okay.
But got it.
Okay.
So now I have my children where they're at, and I'm very thankful for that. With you, you know, you're back home. You're back home in California. You're with your wifey and your doggie. That should make you very happy.
Well,
you know.
I didn't mention that part of it. Let me bring that in because I didn't mention that part of it. Along the way, my wife decided she needed to come back to California where COVID was going on. And, you know, she does house cleaning for a living. It's a small business that she has in the local area. She found it difficult to duplicate that job in Florida. But she had lost almost all her customers who didn't want people coming over to their house during the height of the pandemic and the scare. She came back several months ago now and reestablished her business and started to acquire some of those clients back and to earn some new ones. So she came back so that she could rebuild the business that had been so badly damaged when she went to Florida and COVID occurred. She's done that successfully. But the point is that, like you're saying, Carol, that left me alone for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She even took the dog. Mm-hmm. And for 4 months,
I know.
I kept trying. For 4 months, I kept trying to put that round peg in the or square peg in the round hole with the landlord. And because we rented the house, we were trying to purchase it. The landlord ultimately had it on the market, and I was facilitating them bringing people through and, you know, with the salesperson they had and so forth and showing off the house and all of that. And in the end, they sent me a letter in mid-November that said, we want to raise your rent $200. We want to ask for more deposit. And, oh, by the way, we're selling the house, so you have to be ready to move in 30 days. So I moved. In the next 30 days, I figured out the first part of it that I had them. I was going to move. And for the second part of it, I packed the entire house by myself. And at the end, had a pod, which is a box that you can rent to bring materials, to move material. It's called a pod system. And I hired a couple of guys to help me load the pod. And Tammy Schaffstall, God bless her, who is a neighbor of mine there in Florida, gave me a couple of days of really hard work. And we got the house all clean, I mean really clean, the pod packed, and my van. And I got in the van and drove to California, leaving Florida behind. And I got here just a few days back, a week ago. And since that week, of course, Christmas has occurred and other things. The pod is still sitting on the front, in the front of the house because it rained terribly the day before we were going to unpack the pod, which had arrived. And I discovered that the garage leaked like a sieve. And thank God we hadn't unpacked the pod. I mean, this is how God works. You know, you think it's going to be a horrible thing. You're going to have to wait to unpack the pod. But thank God we did, because we wouldn't have known ahead of time about the bad roof, and everything would have been destroyed if it had been taken out of the pod and put in the garage. So this is how, you know, it works. I'm happy to say that as a result, I've made the decision to enter a program where you get credit for putting up solar systems, and I'm going to do that. And over the next 6 weeks, they're going to replace the roof, not only of the garage, but of the whole house, and install solar programs, panels. And this is a program that they have in California that I do. I found out just the other day, just yesterday, the day before, that I qualified for, and I was approved. So, you know, as bad as 2020 was, and all those things that I just described, and there's more, in the end, there's every reason to believe that in spite of the fact that my mind, which is my enemy, keeps telling me I'll never be a winner, I'll never win, I'll never get out from under this, everything's always going to be difficult, and it's not true. Yeah, there will be difficulties and there will always be challenges in life, but frankly, you can work them out. I do believe that there's nothing that would come my way that would stop me from my recovery, ever. Even if I ended up living on the street, I would still be committed to my recovery, in other words. I do regret some things that happened last year, including the loss of Joe Koch to our organization and now Charlie Stecker to our organization, both people that were very committed and suddenly resigned. And that's their, you know, thing. And without saying why or whatever they resigned, I want to tell each one of them that, you know, that I am extremely grateful for the contributions they did make, even though I'm confused about what happened at the end. They both made significant contributions to NASCA. Charlie, I've known for 10 years, Joe for several, and both of them had been very committed over the last couple of years and now are no longer with us. So there's a little bit of regret there, but there's a tremendous amount of gratitude, which I like what Victoria said. When you look back, it's not just the bad stuff. It's also the good stuff that you got to celebrate. And I celebrate what Joe was able to do for us for a long time, and Charlie for a long time, and I'm grateful for their participation. You know, in 2021, we won't have that, but that's okay. We'll move forward with new voices like Pamela, for goodness sake. Pamela's new, and her husband's even newer, Mark. Pamela, thank you for joining us tonight. Would you like to comment on anything I said?
Yes, I would. Thank you for having me, Bill, and thank you for allowing me to come into, you know, deeper into NASCA. But, you know, your statement to who has come and gone in NASCA, it just reminds me of that life is about seasons, you know, and we're sometimes involved in different things for different seasons. And when we're in a certain season, you know, doing what we did with NASCA or what I'm going to do with NASCA and what people have done in the past, you know, they're laying foundations for others to come along and rebuild too, okay? So, you know, it's not anything bad. I mean, they were there for a season. And like you said, they are so grateful for the foundations that they laid before us, before me.
Absolutely. They both were really dedicated, hard workers, and frankly, when the moment for their resignation came, it was a shock in both cases. But it's okay. I, again, want to focus on what they did do. And like you say, Pamela, all the contributions that everybody makes here at NASCA, all of us being non-paid volunteers, the roles that we play are really important because they are, together, they form what NASCA is able to do. No one or two of us could run NASCA the way it's run right now with so many folks who have taken these roles and responsibilities seriously and do it because, you know, not because they get paid, none of us do, but because they're committed to their own recovery and they're committed to the desire to help others. Like Victoria Kelly, right, Victoria? I know you're committed that way.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
Maybe you'd like to make a comment or two at this point about some of what I've said
and
make your own comments. It's up to you.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to bring up the whole thing about, you know, making amends. You know, I'm really glad that, you know, you brought up, but, you know, the other part of that is, yeah, we all go through difficult times, and sometimes we just don't handle it the right way. And to be able to go back and say something, I know I talked to you several times, and I didn't feel like you had done anything wrong or anything, but I could tell that you were down. And in one way, I was kind of wishing that you would have reached out to me, you know, but I know I've been in those situations myself where, you know, and over the last year, I've been suicidal quite a few times and have, you know, decided to call somebody.
Can I make a quick comment? I'll let you continue, but let me make a quick comment right there, because I didn't realize this is the part of the symptom of how we behave. All of us have various degrees of this, but this is one of the symptoms. It is that we don't recognize when we're having hard times. Sometimes we just, it's just who we are at the moment, and it could last for weeks, and we're just behaving poorly. Sometimes the outside world can see it way before we do. And then there's also the phenomenon, let me just, before I let you back, express that at a certain point you realize you're making bad behavior. You're doing bad behavior, and you can't stop yourself yet. That also happens. So these two things, that you don't even know you're doing it, it's recognizable by others, or that you do know that you're doing it and it's recognizable by others, but you can't yet find the way to correct it, turn it back to sort of a healthier perspective and way of doing things. So I just want to make that comment because there may be others out there that are, you know, thinking about the year they had. Now, let me give it back to you, Victoria, to continue your thoughts.
I know for me, going back, you know, and kind of looking back at, you know, when I've been really depressed and stuff, you know, yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do to reach out. I mean, when, you know, I was a kid and I had a hard time and stuff, you know, I mean, you didn't dare reach out. You know, there's nobody to reach out to, for my, at least for me. And, no, but I'm, you know, I'm just really glad that, you were able to share what you did. And I've been homeless. This will be my 20th time homeless. I'm pretty much in limbo right now. My lease ended at the end of October, and the only reason I could stay is because of COVID. Yay, COVID. Because they can't kick me out. It's illegal. And but just that feeling, I know, of just kind of being in limbo, you know, of
yes.
feeling like you're losing. You know, I left horrible situations sometimes, but I was still leaving and not knowing what I was going into, you know. And
right.
I also heard you ran out of gas.
I did. On the trip back, I was so embarrassed.
Oh, no.
I got halfway across.
Oh,
the
I know you brought
it
up.
It's true. I ran out of gas in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Believe me, there was nothing around, and I couldn't believe
yeah.
I'd done it to myself. But, you know, I wasn't paying attention, and that's another thing you got to do. You need to pay attention to life, because sometimes life is happening, and you're just not aware of it. And that's what I did to myself, and I lost a few hours. But, you know, it took me 4 or 5 days to drive back with the van loaded with stuff, and that's what it takes. You have to, like, address. Now, I've left Florida behind completely.
Yeah.
And I'm permanently now in Los Angeles for the next several years anyway. But I'm here with Christina. I'm here with our little puppy, Jack, who is my recovery, our recovery dog. And, you know, we own this house, so no one can kick us out as long as we keep paying the mortgage. And, in fact, completely unexpected to me in the last few days, I've found a way to refurbish the house by re-roofing it. And I had no thought of that until just two days ago when I was looking for a solution to how to cover the garage. I came up with this, and out of the blue – we're going to get a whole new roof on the entire small house, but on the house and the garage. So, and solar, because it's a solar program.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just never know. Carol,
no,
I think,
you know,
let me say to Carol, I think part of the secret, if people are listening and they want to know, you know, how do you progress in your recovery from the trauma, you know, we're trying to create situations where we do not participate as often in our character defects and shortcomings. And on the other hand, we seek opportunities to grow, to learn, to educate, to have better, an opportunity at least at a better life experience. That's what I've just gone through. But I did not expect it. It, like, came up to me from a kind of a circuitous route, which is kind of the miracle of having a recovery program. In spite of my bad behavior, I know I'll be okay. I'm going to have rough spots, and we all will, but they are you can overcome them, and you can move forward and do good work, and I know all of us here are doing great work with the community that we serve, the survivor community out there. And for me, it's just another example of, and I will say it this way, I said it the other night this way, it's the proof of God that's of the educational variety. In other words, I just learned one more time that I am being helped, even though I behave sometimes as if I'm the be-all and end-all of my life. And that's not true. God's working in it all the time, even when I can't see him. And here's yet another example of that phenomenon having taken effect. So go ahead and make a comment of any kind you'd like.
Well, yeah, you know, well, you see, you have a light at the end of the tunnel. You're back home. You're feeling better. You're with your wife, whom you love and adore, and your doggy. and so you went from a bad place to a good place, okay? And which you probably shouldn't have left to begin with. So So it was sort of like a learning process for you. And once you were out back out east here in Florida, you realized after a while that it wasn't a good idea, and you had to get back home, and you're home. So you're going to even, you know, fix your home better. I think that what people have to do, and myself included, I had some rough days, and I didn't reach out to people because I know what a counselor would tell me is what I told myself, because I know what to say. I mean, we learn over the years what to say to other people and so forth.
Isn't that true?
That's true.
That's really true.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. You know, apply it to yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I had to do that, and I punched a couple of walls.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I actually punched the wall a couple of times. I got so mad. You know,
ouch.
But I feel with my good hand, I did it. Now it's not so good. My other hand was bad to begin with. Stupid. That's all right. But, you know, the truth of the thing is we're still growing. We're still learning. And life is never going to be perfect, okay? A lot of times we look for perfection in our life. And you're not going to find everything that you want. It's just as simple as that. So then you have to learn how to move forward. And that's how we grow. So during this time that I was having a hard time, I was still going to the safe house in Phillipsburg and working with people that are, you know, to help other people that are in trouble. Originally for children who are runaways, but it also turned into something else. And my friend Sandy, and you know, she's been on this show. She lives right next door, and so it was like an overflow. So they used her as an overflow.
Right.
So what we would do is, you know, listen to people, talk to people, help people. And I've always said that with me especially, I can't speak for other people, but I think it does apply. If you're down low and really low, don't stay in the environment which is making you feel too low. Maybe you have bad memories. Maybe you have thoughts that didn't happen, didn't come out to be, whatever. Get in your car and go and be a service somewhere. And I had to go anyway because I got a phone call. So I went to Peaburg, and I was doing what I was doing there. And it immediately brought me up out of that depth, okay, that I can fall so low. I mean, don't forget, I tried to commit suicide, and I suffered from suicidal ideations for years.
Right.
So to bring myself up, and this is what I suggest to other people too, to bring yourself up, go do something. Remove yourself from that, wherever you are. Just get out of there. Go to your car. Go take a ride. Go visit someone. Make a phone call if you don't have a car. But don't not do anything. Okay.
Right. All right. As I go to Pamela, let me remind people that this is a call-in show, and we'd love to have some additional voices here and some opinions and perspectives presented on the celebration of getting rid of 2020 and the excitement we're experiencing about the possibility of a better 2021. Please do call in and talk about this, especially in terms of the process that you've seen in your own life, in your own recovery from child abuse trauma in the last year and looking for the new year. The number to dial, 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. We're all sharing about things that were trials and tribulations in 2020 especially. And, you know, think about it, Pamela. NASCA is now over a decade old. You know, after a decade of existence, I think we have proof, frankly. It's not a phenomenon that this thing, you know, when we started it got somewhat popular. It's now attended by thousands of people. We have a big following in Facebook and LinkedIn. We have many people who are using the Zoom meetings 3 times a week in recovery. Those are recovery meetings, they're not shows. But then these 5 shows, Monday through Friday, every night at 8 o'clock Eastern and 5 o'clock Pacific, where we have a combination of people telling their stories who are survivors and then professionals who do question and answer discussion type shows. This is not a fluke. It's really happened because of people like you. You're kind of the new, you represent the new blood, if you want, and we need that. People who are excited about participating and then begin to commit themselves. And when you have that, you know, sort of energy that comes from people like yourself and your husband, Mark, who's going to be joining us over the next period of a couple of weeks. He's going to also eventually emerge as a host, but he'll start trailing and other things helping me in the background. Pamela, tell us your comments on, or give us a couple of comments on what you feel about what you've heard so far tonight.
All right. Well, one of the things was what you said about your adventure there on the road about not paying attention to your gas. And we need to be mindful and in the present, because we get uneasy and have anxiety and tension and stress when we think too much about the future, you know, or think about what could happen instead of staying in the present, you know, and being thankful for what we do have now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and we want to stay out of the past as much as possible. But, of course, we do have to be present to heal the past, right? We have to be mindful about it. And so my thinking was to let you know that the first time I came on NASA was in 2018, and Carol was my host. She doesn't remember it, but I do. And she was so kind to me and so validating. And so, you know, I was very nervous, and she calmed me down, and she slowed me down and told me that I didn't have to worry about anything. Everybody here was a family member, a survivor. And so I got to telling my story, and it empowered me. It made me feel like, you know, now I've got somebody that'll listen. I can reach out to somebody, you know. And so after I was working on my book at the time. Well, I just had my book about my sexual abuse published, because I told y'all about the book on the show. Now, the book was published in February 2018. So I must have been on around January or so, or no, probably later after the book was published. So once I got that book published, we started traveling, and I didn't have much to do with NASCA at that point, but I took literature from NASCA, because NASCA has all kinds of programs, and it needs to get out there so people can come on the show, tell their story, be empowered, you know, and begin to serve with NASCA and help other people, okay? It's like, help me help others, you know? Help others help others. And so it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a pay it forward, right? Mm. And so we were traveling in 2019 with the book in literature, but then what happened in 2020? COVID, right? So we had to shut down all my traveling with the book and with the NASCA information. And now God has me doing virtual, because I'm 63. I really don't want to be out in the public if we have this, you know, if all this is really being shared. You know, I go out every now and then. I'll go to the grocery store. I'll go out to eat. And they still are doing the social distancing big time. So that doesn't make me scared. But, yeah, now Bill has promoted me to associate director of the Stan Show, and I do ask people to call in. And on the front page of NASCA, there's a way to contact me if you want to book a show. And like I said, it has really empowered me and helped me on my healing path, belonging to NASCA.
Okay, the title is Associate Producer, which has to do an awful lot with Pamela's having taken on the challenge of helping me schedule shows ahead of time and collect the information that we need. This had become a big burden. It's one of the burdens that I was experiencing last year. There was nobody helping me. After Joe left, especially, there was nobody helping me in a lot of different areas. And I had to kind of find people to pick up some of what Joe was doing here and some there. But in the end, the show itself was entirely on my shoulders, and it was becoming difficult to get special guests. Well, Pamela has found a way to engage with that, and we're going to be grateful that we have, for the first time, frankly, an associate producer by name. Well, I'll continue to be the executive producer, obviously, and the director, too. But to have somebody on the team like that who is committed has meant a great deal. It's already started to make a difference. If you look at the schedule that's coming up, most of January is already filled in with the guests that we expect to have and the information that we need for most of them on hand. But this is a huge relief for me because every week on Friday, I would look ahead at the week coming up and I'd have multiple slots that were still open that I'd have to fill on a kind of, I felt like an emergency basis every week and hurry up and find somebody to do it. And anyway, I'm relieved, no question, that I have a partner in doing this, associate producer Pamela Lockridge, and at least so far she's doing an okay job. You know what I mean, Pamela?
Thank you, Bill.
She is doing a wonderful job. I just want her to know that. Yes, she is.
Yeah.
I was scat around looking for people. I was going into the archives. She has a way of doing it. I'm not going to say on air. I don't know if she wants me to. But she found a way to find guests that neither you nor I were doing, okay? So it was a burden. And I was helping you from time to time, too. But the point is
this.
She knows how to do it, okay? And you know what? I'm real happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm just very
old. I am
old.
Too.
I'm old. And if I see somebody commenting on somebody else's page about abuse, I will reach out to them and ask them point blank, are you a survivor? And if they say yes, I will say, would you want to come on and tell your story? Absolutely. Okay. You wouldn't believe how many people are ready to tell their story.
Well, that's good. So you thought to look at that, you know, that's good.
Carol, let me mention, this is a new phenomenon for, you know, when we started this over a decade ago, people were reluctant. It was not easy to find, because that's one of the phenomenons about our trauma is that we think we can handle it ourselves. Oftentimes that means keeping the secret completely. Other times it means only talking to our counselor, you know, but nobody else, never in public, never telling our story. And I tell you, a decade later, Carol and I have been here the whole time, actually Victoria too, almost the whole time. We see that more people are willing now and actually starting to feel eager, which is what Pamela just said, eager to tell their story because others have done it ahead of them. That's what NASCA is. It's a group of people who are in recovery ahead of the newcomer being the most important person that ever comes here. But the reason we do what we do is to empower them, right, to entitle them, to give them permission and a platform to engage with other survivors, including being on a radio show. But there's so many other things NASCA does that get people involved in their own recovery. They're not just sitting there anymore thinking about it, which is horrible. They're actually putting it into action, their recovery into action. Victoria, you've seen this. You and Carol and I have, well, actually, Pamela too in her own way, but especially about child abuse. You and Carol and I have been at this a long time in our child abuse recovery, and I'm sure you've seen different sort of waves of awareness and activity in the 30 years.
Yeah,
or so
I started speaking when I was 21 through a battered woman shelter. And then I got involved with another group called Whisper, Women Hurting Systems of Prostitution Engaged in Revolt. We had an opinion. And anyway, and I started speaking with them, and the more I was speaking with them, the more my child abuse stuff came up, you know, and people weren't really talking about it back then, you know. Like you said, it was like in waves. And when I finally was doing some workshops and stuff, and working with the Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women out here in Minnesota, we started doing conferences, statewide conferences with people from all over. And, you know, barely was anything talked about child abuse. And if it was always from a professional. It was never from a survivor. And I spoke one time with another guy, and we both kind of told our childhood and this and that. And it was the social workers. I don't know how many people. It must have been 30, 40 people there. And we always gave out pieces of paper, you know, to the people that were listening to get feedback. And everybody gave us all this wonderful feedback, how we were survivors, and thanks for telling your story, and it's going to help us in our jobs, and on and on and on. And one person wrote down, I don't believe either one of them, because there's no way they could have went through that much and been that, you know, spoke that well or something like that, you know. I went to my therapist, and I was, like, so bummed out, you know. And I was just, for the whole week, just focusing on this, right? And I got in there, and she's like, I got to ask a question. About how many pieces of paper were there? And then go, about 35. And she goes, and there's one that you think was negative? And I go, well, yeah, it was really bad. Look what you're focusing on, you know? But I don't know what it's called, but there's some kind of thinking that, you know, you're focusing on that one little thing.
It's called thinking.
Well, that too. Yeah, right. But once I started, you know, getting into talking about being used in prostitution as a teenager, more of that childhood stuff started coming up, you know. But it wasn't until I got with NASCA, met Bill, that I had published a book back in 2000, and I got a lot of responses from that. Mm-hmm. And I was on MySpace when that was first starting out, and I was sharing my story on there too. And there were a lot of people that individually would message me or whatever you call it back then. But, you know, nobody was going to post on there unless they were a professional, you know. But I had so many people come up to me and said, I'm a survivor of child abuse, too, after I started speaking a lot about it. And but I could never tell anybody, or I'd go speak at a church and they'd be like, you know, or their family members were in law enforcement, or just they could not ever tell anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And it's sad.
That's changed. And that's changed now,
yeah,
right, Victoria?
Yes, it has, yeah.
Yep.
I'm so happy you did all that, Victoria, too. See, I've done many presentations, but I can tell you something. When I wrote my book in 2010, that was actually the second time that it was published. The first people that published it, Book Surge, they said it was too volatile. It was too volatile. They couldn't deal with it. All I did was tell my story just like you did, you know, in the book. And so there's been a lot of change. That's why I say from time to time on the shows, no, we're not where we want to be. But and I always talk about the dent in the statistics. But we are making a difference, because look at all the people who are writing books. Look at all the people who are using art, or they're using music, or whatever it is that they're using. And, you know, and I remember when I did my first presentation years ago now, people were looking the other way. They were squirming in their seats. And oh, boy, you know what I'm talking about. They didn't want to make eye contact with
me. I know,
me,
and then you think, maybe I should take back those words. How do I?
I know. You go, oh, no. You know, so, but then I got involved with, you know, other places, and professors and police officers, and they did want to hear, so that we are making a difference.
Right.
Go ahead.
Carol.
Yes.
really relating to what you're saying, because when I first started going to take my books out to book signings, I went to the library first. Nobody showed up. Okay, I put it in the paper and sent it out to the college. I mean, nobody showed up. Okay, and then I started going to book festivals. I went to the Louisiana Book Festival, the Texas Book Festival, you know, at the Alabama Book Festival, and we put up our table. And we put. I had a little sign that said, "Together we can end molestation." Okay, and these people would look at the sign and they'd look down at my book table and they'd just veer off.
I know. That's how it was when I first started out, too.
Well,
oh, my God.
This was in 2018. And they're very
old. That wasn't that long ago. Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, people don't want to, you know, even if it's on their own house, they still don't want to talk about it, you know.
Well, here's the thing. It's still that phenomenon still exists. But what we've provided is a forum where it's comfortable to share. That's the difference.
Right.
The person that comes here usually sort of they audition NASCA by listening to a few of these shows, and they realize that, wow, those people are being really honest. I can't believe the kind of questions they're answering, and you know, they're not holding back, and man, they're able to say stuff that was far worse than what I went through, and things like that. They're saying that to themselves. And what they realize is on every one of these shows, we include the invitation for newcomers to engage with us in a variety of different ways. They should go to the NASCA website and check us out. This radio show is only one of 30-something things that we do, and there is so much. As Pamela said, even when you're on the road, you could print stuff out and take it with you that would be meaningful to you. There's so
That's
much
right.
here at NASCA to offer them. So I think the difference is there are still literally millions and millions of people who are in denial and in pain to the point which they are not going to be comfortable sharing ever. Maybe not for a long time, but not right now anyway. So they come to your book show and they look down at the table and the title of the book is I Was a Whore at Four. And they go, oh, no, I'm not reading that, you know.
Some people would actually start crying and leave.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're feeling the pain of it. And it's in that pain that they can't share. That's, as I say, one of the main characteristics or phenomenons of child abuse is our desire to keep it a secret. And, of course, that's completely detrimental to our healing. And then the point I'm trying to make, I'll give it back to Carol and Victoria, but is that what we offer them is a more comfortable platform at which they can risk telling their story for the first time in an environment that's, you know, that's supportive, but also public. And that's a huge step for a newcomer. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I also want to say that what's also really neat if somebody's listening and doesn't know much about what NASCA is that, you know, there's no membership. You don't have to, you know, join a membership or anything. If you want to be a member, you're a member. You know, if you're a survivor of abuse or neglect, you're a member, and we call it the NASCA family. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, what I like to say is that, you know, you don't get to pick your original family, but, you know, we get to pick each other. And I know a lot of people I've talked to that have come to the support groups or even listened to the radio shows after that have said about how much support it's given them and how comfortable, you know, they feel with being able to share because, like you said, Bill, because other people are sharing their, you know, pain or their happiness or sadness or whatever, you know, and it gives other people, you know, permission to do that. And like when I was told my story, I had a bunch of people coming up to me afterwards and ask me questions, and they were all like shocked that I'd answer them. You know, I'd always say, I'll stay as long as you guys want me to. And they were just shocked. You know,
right.
That's why I was there. You know, that's why I wrote that book, not to make money, but because I wanted to get out the message back in 2000. People were not talking about it. And I was handing that book out left and right. I was photocopying it using my money on SSI, handing it out because I wanted people to be able to identify with it. And some people had stopped halfway through and said, I just can't read this. And I said, you don't have to read the whole thing at once, you know, either.
You know, let me say something. Let me respond to that because People around here now, they know who I am, okay, because I've given out all kinds of NASCAR cards and so forth, and they think I'm funny and all this other stuff. I have a good time with them. But there was one lady who read my book, and she said, you know, I'm having such a hard, hard time getting through this because it's just so awful. And she said, why went through so much? And I said, but I'm only one of millions who have gone through so much. You know what I'm saying? And we do have to talk about it. So I know what you say by that. You just said, it's hard. And then it brings me back to two things. Many years ago now, I saw Basketball Diaries. That was a movie. And it was DiCaprio. You know, we all know who DiCaprio is, okay? And he was in a movie, and he was the star of the movie, and he was doing sort of like he was sitting on a stage, and he was narrating for a little while, and he was talking about child abuse. Now, this is years ago, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, he's talking about me. He's talking about him, or maybe not about him, but he's doing a damn good job. And it resonated in me. I remembered it so well. And now, that had to be in the 90s, the late 90s, you know, somewhere in there. And then I went from there and I decided it's time to do something because I kept remembering his movie and his documentary. And I thought it's time to start speaking out, all right, to do something. So I did that and I did it in churches. Boy, that was something else. I didn't go to the Catholic church, Bill. Oh, no. You and I are both Catholic and I didn't go there to speak about child abuse. I don't think they'd let me in. So I went to churches that were, didn't matter what denomination you were, they didn't care. And I did manage to get in a few of those. I even went more than you know about, Bill. I just didn't put in a drop box. But I was actually well received. You see, when things like this happen, it gives me hope. It shows that people are listening. And with book signings, I sold many books, only for $7. I'd only charge $7 because a lot of times college students don't have that much money, and I didn't want to charge them that much, you know what I'm saying? So I would work in universities. And, of course, this year we can't do that anywhere because of the COVID. Everything is like I feel smothered because there's so much I want to do, and we all feel that way, you know, those of us who do go out. That's another reason why it's a bad year. So I put my mask on, and I go, and I work with the homeless when I can. Make sure I wear gloves, too. And so far, I've been very lucky. And then, of course, in Pittsburgh. So you'll even see me online. There's one place online someone snapped my picture in a house with my mask on. But the point is, we at NASCAR, I had a little tiff with someone because they were saying that, and I'm not going to say who that person is, but, you know, what does NASCAR have to offer? I said, then you don't know NASCAR. You don't get it.
Absolutely.
You better go and look at the front page. Yeah. You better go and look at the front page and start opening up links because we offer so much. First of all, we offer our time. We don't charge. I could have been paid over at Centenaryville. I said, no, I don't want your money. And maybe that was a mistake. I don't know. But anyway, the point is.
It was.
Well, you know, I give of myself. This is, look, we're survivors. This is how I feel about me. I'm a survivor, and I shouldn't be alive, all right, because of my own problems and because of things that happen. So, you know, I freely give of myself of what I've learned over the years, some in schooling and some mostly out on the street and home that were bad. But, you know, the point is this. If people really listen to our shows, I've gotten a lot of good feedback, too. There are people in this area now that are listening to NASCAR through their computers. They don't want to come on. And it's kind of disturbing because, you see, there's so many people who have gone through abuse. And I remember in one presentation, there was one boy, I think he was in his early 20s. He got up and he left and he was crying. And I felt, I'll never forget that kid's face. Well, I was telling my story and speaking about child abuse. So I went to another professor that I had started out with. She's gone now. But I said, what's wrong with him? And sure enough, he had come to school a week before, 2 weeks before the presentation. He had a big black eye. And only God knows what else was going on in his house. And you see, he couldn't deal with it. He couldn't deal with listening because it was too close to home. So it's very hard. You have to sort of like, you learn how to do this. Although there was no, I didn't see that coming from him. But you sort of like look at your audience. I've had as many as over 100. When I first started telling my story in Hackettstown, I had over 100 the first time in Centenary, in university. And got a standing ovation, same thing in the church. Now, so you see, people are listening. They're listening. And you know, it's things like that that make NASCA so, so good. And I take all kinds of information about NASCA. And I'm sure many of them, and I hand out the cards, many of them have looked at our website. And I'm very proud of our website.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, Carol, on that point, I'd like to say that my favorite thing about NASCA, and maybe everybody say their favorite thing about NASCA, but my favorite thing is that when a guest comes on and tells their story, it is archived, and they can go back and share their story with anybody they want to share it with through social media, and then they can come back on a year later and tell where they are in recovery at that point. And it is amazing to hear stories of people who first told their story and tell their story now. I just retold my story, and I'm just so happy where I am. And NASCA has been such a part of it because I have a family. NASCA is an actual family that I'm in love with.
Mm-hmm,
and God provided that. I have to thank the Lord for it.
What is your
favorite part of NASCA?
The community that we have. You know, I know that if I get really upset, I can reach out to anyone, you know, in NASCA, okay? In fact, I have in the past, many years ago, when I first started this, I wasn't that far along in my healing journey. I thought I was. But I would tell Bill, I'd laugh at him. I'd say, well, I'm 75% healed now. And he goes, yeah. And then, you know, I get up to 85, and finally I get up to 90. And now I say I'm between 90 and 95. There's always going to be something that is going to, you know, pull us down. And we have to learn how to, you know, to fix that. And I use that word fix. That's an AA term. But there are some things that we can fix, okay, because we've learned over the years how to do that. So my part of NASCA is the fact that there are people that we can reach out to. I have many people that reach out to me on my phone. Last night I got to bed at 5:30. No lie. I was on the phone until 5:30. I guess it was 6:30 by the time. I always take a shower and I wash my hair. Yeah, it was about around 6 o'clock, 6:30. I don't do that every night. And people have asked me, you know, well, if I'm going to be an ambassador or whatever, how many phone calls am I going to get? Well, I can't answer that. Sometimes you get a whole bunch, a barrage of phone calls. Other times you don't get as many, you know. But we're here to support each other. It's the support place to go. And I also like, too, that when people do tell their stories, there may have been one or two people over the years that were kind of sorry they opened up so much, or maybe they were afraid, whatever. But we've had so many shows now, and all those other people were happy that they opened up and felt jubilant, felt relieved and satisfied that they had told their stories. At times I receive emails. I'm so glad that NASCA exists, and that's why I fight for NASCA.
Victoria,
absolutely.
What's your favorite? Thank you, Carol. Victoria, what's your favorite part?
Just first finding it, the very, very beginning. It was like there wasn't anything else like NASCA out there for survivors, you know. And, you know, when I met Bill and, you know, he asked me to tell my story, I just, you know, I just felt so honored. You know, and I just got done telling my story for the third time. I think I met Bill, I don't know, about 10 years ago. And just just the whole community of people. I don't even know how many people are in that Facebook group, that closed meeting. But it's just, it's amazing, you know. It's like with AA, you know, two drugs started that, you know, survivor of abuse started NASCAR. And, you know, I think that's the big thing that I'm grateful for is that, you know, Bill's put all this time and effort and money and everything into this, you know, during his good and bad times. And a lot of us have done the same with the projects we've done. You know, it's like, I think, Carol, you were saying, you know, if you're having a bad time, you know, and it always seemed to be when I was going through a bad time, somebody would call me up and say, hey, Victoria, you know, we got this thing you want to come speak at, or, you know, I need help with, you know, my kids, or, you know, I need some groceries or whatever. It's like I felt that my higher power, the universe, was sending these people into my life that I could help, that I could get out of my crap. You know?
Right.
And matter of fact, 3 months before my son, I don't know if you'll know, but my son called me about 3-4 months ago. Before that, I was like thinking about, you know, I'll probably never have a house, and I'd like to have a yard for my dog and a garden and, you know, just something simple. And I kind of just went, well, that's never going to happen. But I have what I call my higher power box. It's just a box I write things down and things I wish for, or resentments are just, you know, or anger, stuff I just want to get rid of. I throw in there and give it to the universe. And then I get rid of it. And if I want to take it back and worry about it or whatever, then I have to dig through the whole box and find it.
There you go.
But anyways, I put this in there, and then 3 months later, I was feeling really down because I was getting told the next month I was going to have to leave, and I didn't know where to go. So,
yeah,
you know,
I was feeling
really, really depressed. And I posted on Facebook that I was getting ready to get rid of all my stuff. Well, my daughter is in a chemical diploma. She's a director of a program, you know. So, like, you know, her antenna went off, or whatever you want to call it, radar. And anyway, her and my son. And anyway, my son called and talked to me and my former husband, who's my friend, and said that, he says, this is not for sure, he said, but I'm thinking about buying a house in Minnesota for you and Dad to live in, and you guys pay me rent. And then he asked my former husband how much, you know, we could pay, and he goes, I don't know, maybe $400 a month. And my son said, oh, that's okay. So we were talking and stuff, and then he's all worried about the payments and everything, and my son says, oh, don't worry about it. I gave you a budget, you know, just stick in the budget, whatever. He goes, I'll still be eating about $600 a month, but that's okay. So I wrote to him. I said, you know, would an extra $100 a month help at all? And he goes, Mom, it really wouldn't help that much. Besides, I want you to be comfortable. And I tell you what, my eyes just teared off. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. You know what? You know, that's a wonderful feeling, because so many of us, you know, there are a lot of us, you know, years have gone by now. And we think to ourselves, well, geez, I know how I feel right now, but I don't know how I'm going to feel, say, 10 years from now, okay, if I'm alive 10 years from now. And people have that fear factor. I mean, I own my house. I don't own a penny on this house. I bought it with money. I was able to. And I know where I'm here, okay? I'm here. I have my own house. But how am I going to feel in 10 years, you know? And I don't like depending on my kids. You know, I don't like doing that, because they're trying to get their own lives in order and so forth. So, you know, it's a scary time. They talk about the golden years. Well, I don't consider myself there yet. Just ask me. But, you know, the golden years, you know, they can be a good time, or they can be a stressful time. So I think people have to sort of like plan, you know. I think everyone should plan, because the time goes by so quickly. It just goes by so quickly, you know.
I wonder if Bill has a favorite thing about NASCAR.
Who's running this show?
I don't know.
She took it over. And she's interviewing each one of us with the question she wants us to answer. I love the fact that, you know, it is succeeding. One of my early goals was to have NASCAR survive me. And just as Carol said, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know how long I'll be around. But I now have this sense that NASCAR can and will survive me. And that was an original goal. So I'm just, there are many goals that now have been met, and there's a lot more to do. I'm happy that where we've come to, and this is sort of the idea of the show tonight, but I'm also looking forward to where we may go, may grow in the future. And frankly, I don't see there any particular limit to that. It is a kind of unending opportunity for people to come forward and tell their story. And with 50 million of us who have experienced sexual assault as children, there's a lot of people yet to reach. So it's a goal that has no end, but we have established a foothold. It's like in World War II, you had to conquer the beach at Normandy first, right?
Okay.
Well, we've got a beachhead, and there's still a lot to do to defeat the enemy of child abuse, but the beachhead has been established, and I don't think it's going away. So I'm really glad that other people have seen that kind of perspective, have that kind of perspective, and have seen their way to become committed in the roles and that they play. And there's many, many things to do here at NASCAR, and taken on commitments and responsibilities for the non-paid work, volunteer work that they will do, but to together as a family, as a community, move this thing forward. So that's what I would say. Now we have 13 minutes left. We never had anybody else call in. It's still possible to do so. If you've listened to the show and you want to make a comment, go ahead and call 646-595-2118. Let us know what you felt or feel about the show tonight. 646-595-2118. Of course, the general theme of the show was a celebration of getting rid of 2020 and looking forward to a better experience in 2021. It's kind of an open mic party, if you want, because we discovered very early in the show that none of us have a plan to go to a regular party this year, and I'm not surprised. There's going to be less partying, but that's okay. And in NASCAR's terms, we never skip a holiday. We know holidays are extremely difficult for survivors, and so we always run shows even if they happen on a holiday night. We don't give each other the night off. In fact, we double our efforts to be here because there may be nowhere else for someone to go. And here, there is always a NASCAR show Monday through Friday that they can turn to, even if it's a holiday. It was Christmas Day, we had a show, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, we'll have a show New Year's Day, and so forth. So I don't see anybody else calling in. So let me give it back to you guys. Pamela, I guess we'll start with you. Final thoughts. You have a couple of minutes here. It's about 10 minutes or more to finish here. But a couple of minutes of your final thoughts about leaving 2020 behind and getting into 2021.
All right. Well, I was looking at some quotes, and there's one that I like that makes a lot of sense, and it's really good. It says, let's see. You'll never get anywhere if you go about what-if-ing. So, don't think about what could be or what is. Just, stay in the present and love yourself. Party with yourself if you're not partying with anybody else. Just, get you a hot cup of cocoa and sit down and just, open a favorite book or light a candle, get in the bathtub with a bubble bath. Even men can do this. Get you an aroma candle and just take care of yourself. Don't think about what's going to happen. Just get with yourself and think about positive things in your mind and do positive self-talk, I'm going to lose weight this year. That's my positive self-talk. And I'm happy my husband's retired. And
I'm going to the gym this year, even though many people won't be there but me. But yeah, do your self care this year. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds good.
I like
good.
That. I like that.
All right, Carol, you want to give us some final thoughts here? A couple of minutes worth?
You know what? I'm going to be kinder to myself this year. And also, my body comes first. I have a bad knee. If it needs to be operated on, I'm going to get it operated on. Simple as that, instead of ignoring it and piling all kinds of sloppy medicine on it, which isn't working. I'm going to take care of me this year. Because for so many years, I don't mean like with NASCAR, I mean in my family, I've always taken care of others. But now I have to sort of like look at me and decide, you know, what needs to be done. And I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen next week or whatever. I will be mindful, okay? I think we all have to be mindful. And I'm going to continue to be careful, you know, with COVID things because we have to. But other than that, I'm just going to live my life in a more positive way. And I know how to do that, you know. I have a lot to be thankful for. We all do. We're still standing. We're still standing.
Right, right.
Okay.
That's very good. So,
yeah.
Sort of a combination of what you and Pamela both said, you know, it's about being in the moment, huh? It's about being
mm-hmm.
present. Not in the past, where there could have been, might have been, as Pamela said, and not in the future, thinking too far ahead and trying to second guess what's going to happen. I would never have imagined, as I drove across country and even ran out of gas, that one of the first big issues that happened when I arrived was a rainstorm. It never rains in California. But if I had put all that stuff in the garage that's still in the pot on the street before the rain came, it would have all been destroyed. And this is the stuff that I wanted to make sure got saved from Florida and so shipped to my front door here in California. It never would have happened. I mean, I couldn't have predicted that. So if you stay in the moment and then, you know, seeing the disappointment of the rain, I had a challenge. How am I going to fix this? I somehow have figured it out, at least up to this point. I won't predict, you know, how the roof is going to look when it's finished. But I have a plan in place that I will follow through on that was hard to put together, but now it's in process. So I'm going to be in the moment. So, Victoria, talk to us a little bit of some final thoughts that you might have for a couple of minutes here. We have time for you to develop, you know, your thoughts about leaving 2020 behind and going into 2021.
Yeah. Okay, I've got kind of a gift for you, Bill. It's kind of like Christmas present.
Okay.
I made a decision that I'm going to start fundraising for NASCAR because I've fundraised for about 4 different organizations. There's no guarantee on anything, but I'm going to make a commitment this year to do that for NASCAR. And, you know, anybody else that's out there that wants to, you know, get on the bandwagon, my number's on NASCAR. And that was another thing I want to tell anybody listening. There are numbers on NASCAR that you can call people, and there are ones by states. And I'm in Minnesota, and everybody else, you know, I told where they were from and everything, but you can call anybody from any of the states, and all of our numbers are on there for the NASCAR ambassadors, and we will do our utmost best, you know, to help you. I just want to say really quick, when I was on that MySpace, I was writing about my story. So one lady wrote to me, and she was asking me all these questions, not only about my own abuse, but just about a lot of stuff, you know, legal stuff. I didn't know what, you know, the heck to answer her. So I'd look up stuff and set her website, you know, links and everything. Well, I didn't hear from her about 3 months after I did a pack her almost every day. And I didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden she writes to me. And I still get a frog in my throat on this one. She said, I just want to thank you for all that you shared your story and all the information you shared, because she said, my 4-year-old granddaughter will never be molested by her father ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that right there at that moment told me that I had to do this. That was my calling.
Yep.
That was the calling.
No, right.
That's a fabulous story. Thank you for sharing that with us. And let me say, on the note of fundraising for NASCA, for a little while we had lost our nonprofit status. It's back now, so we are a nonprofit, and any donations that are made to us are tax deductible. And they always will have been. They always have been tax deductible. But hopefully we'll get our name back on Facebook correctly, that we are a nonprofit and all that. And I just want to say that here at the very end of the year, because if you make a contribution to NASCA, it usually comes either through the PayPal connections that we have on our website at nasca.org/contribute. Just put in the word contribute and you'll go to it. And mailing a check or a money order or something like that, they come to me. So I see them. And I got to tell you, in the last few days, we had a couple of $50 donations from people I don't know who they are, and a $100 donation from a person I didn't know who they were, who were just feeling some of that gratitude without any kind of asking for it. This occurred. As 2021 begins, I want people to understand we've never had a fundraising drive. We've never had a fundraising effort, really. It's always been there, at least since 2015 when we became a nonprofit, that it's possible to donate. But we keep our costs so low. There's not a huge, huge need. But right now we have our entire treasury consists of maybe a couple $1,000s. And that's not enough to secure the future for NASCA. In other words, I would like to have a little bit of a treasury that ensured that no matter what happened, someone could pick up the ball and continue the work we're doing. So I'm making an appeal to Victoria, and I'm appreciative of your bringing it up because I wasn't going to. We have needs. They are financial. They're also personal, but the reason we can keep the cost so far down is we're all volunteers. None of us are paid. But there are things we have to pay for. Like the radio show itself is a service that I hire every year and is an annual fee of several hundred dollars and so forth. And we have, printing costs and things like that. They're not huge, but they are there. And in any case, I want to have what we have, what's called in other organizations, a prudent reserve, which simply means that there's a certain amount of money on hand just in case. And it doesn't even mean we're going to spend it. We might, though, if we need to. And so the operating costs of NASCA should be covered, but there should also be a prudent reserve off to the side in case we should need it. Now, we're allowed to hire people. We have, for example, a CPA. Not going to cost us much, but $250, I think, a year. But that's something, because we want to make sure that we never fall into the trap that we fell into recently, where we were temporarily, we had our 501c3 removed temporarily because we hadn't filed some returns. We don't want that to ever happen. And we're allowed to hire special workers like that if need be. And we will pay them, obviously, for their expertise. But the basic NASCA family member who runs this thing and takes on a role of responsibility and commitment is not paid. They're all volunteers, non-paid, who use their own time, energy, computer, phone, whatever, to make sure this thing works. And I've got the 60-second signal coming. We have 1 minute left in the show. So let me give this opportunity to take this opportunity to thank all those who are listening tonight, encourage you to come back for another show, eventually engage in any of the 30 things that you'll find on the NASCA.org website under the highlights page that interest you, any of them. They're all free. Like Victoria said, there are no dues or fees. There's no registration. You're a member of NASCA if you say you are. So if you identify as a survivor that wants to call themselves a member of the NASCA family, you're in. And you're in right now, as of my saying this. I want to thank Pamela, Victoria, and Carol for their participation on this show. I thought it was a great show and an opportunity to kind of do an inventory on how we did in 2020 and how we hope we'll do in 2021. And I want to, again, thank the listener and say, may God bless you and the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody, and good riddance.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.